Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday, when we dig deeper into issues that came up earlier in the week. And we've touched, of course, on the question of the slowing economy and the possibility that we're in a recession several times this week. And we thought we would ask what a recession is and if it can actually have some positive effects. As my next guest has written, he is Daniel Gross, a columnist for Newsweek and the author of Pop, Why Bubbles Are Great for the Economy. He wrote an article this week for Slate.com on the upside of a downturn. Hey, Dan, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
So what exactly is a recession?
A recession is defined as a contraction in the economy. In other words, it stops expanding. There's a group in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the National Bureau of Economic Research. They are the official arbiters. They decide when the economy has started expanding, when it has contracted. That's what's known as the business cycle. And, of course, it's not always evident until much later when those dates actually occurred.
Why two quarters? Why is that?
Well, that is a definition you hear a lot from people on Wall Street and elsewhere. Two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. And, you know, the Commerce Department reports GDP growth quarterly, you know, January to March, April to June. The NBER sees it slightly differently because a contraction could start in February and end in June. You know, that's a quarter and a half. And the GDP report that only goes from January to March might not necessarily pick that up.
Mm-hmm. And
a
what
typical
is
recession lasts about 10 months.
What exactly is growth?
Growth is when the economy is expanding in real terms, where the amount of output adjusted for inflation is rising.
The amount of output, meaning production of goods and services, or is it purchasing?
Production of goods and services.
What's a depression?
It's when you feel really bad and you need Prozac. Fortunately, we've only really had one of them. I mean, it's a recession that really goes on for quite a long time. I think that's less of a clinical term than a historical one.
Right. So you wrote on Slate.com what you argue are a few particular positive effects, side effects, all, you know, though they may be, of recession. Tell us about it.
Well, let's start with the caveat that recessions are always really bad because it means a contraction, it means fewer jobs, it means government gets less revenues, it means you get budget cuts. The people who are suffering tend to get hurt by that as well. So in a perfect world, we would never have a recession. We would always prefer growth to a recession.
And by the way, we got a few comments on our comments page this week from people saying, I'm not in love with growth. Growth is rapacious to the environment. Growth concentrates wealth in the hands of the few, and that it's a myth that growth is a good thing, by and large.
Well, my response would be consider the alternative, and it's sort of the question, you know, how is your health? You frequently might say, well, it's better than the alternative. If you think growth is bad, wait till you see sustained lack of growth for a few years. Benjamin Friedman is a Harvard economist, has a great, very long book called The Moral Consequences of Growth, which is the liberals' case for why growth has been a positive good. And he really associates it with the growth of freedom. Liberal democracy, you know, would not have been possible without economic growth. That said, if you look to the potential upsides, if you look at what's going on about this particular recession, if we are in one, it is that the U.S. economy has ground to a halt. In the past, that would have thrown the global economy into a recession because we were sort of the only game in town, especially back in the Cold War. We were the engine driving the global free market economy all by ourselves. What's happened with the explosion of India, China, all these economies is our chunk of the pie has decreased. We're now about maybe 26-27% of the global economy. And we have this state of affairs where the U.S. may be stalled. China is still growing 7 or 8%. India, all these economies are doing quite well. They depend on us, but they don't rely exclusively on us. And I would argue that this state of affairs, a sort of stalled U.S. and a rest of the world that continues to grow nicely, should function as a wake-up call that Americans need to get more global. We give a lot of lip service to the fact that we're in a global economy and we can point to American companies that are doing stuff overseas. But I think the genie is out of the bottle when it comes to economic growth and capitalism overseas. And the lion's share of economic activity in the world today happens outside our shores. And if we don't get serious about getting in on that and figuring out in ways to participate in that beyond importing cheap stuff from China, we're going to be in trouble in the long term. And I think that a recession here that coincides with continued nice positive growth in the rest of the world would function as something of a shot in the arm, a wake-up call.
A wake-up call. And in the short term, it could also be good for artists, you say, and maybe it could be good for people who don't yet own homes.
Well, on the home question, you know, if home prices fall, and you hear a lot of, you talk to people around New York, many renters or people who don't like what's happened to their neighborhoods or who would like to move to a different neighborhood, they're sort of holding out hope, you know, maybe, gee, if housing prices really crash, then I'll be able to, you know, go from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom or move, you know, into a different part of the neighborhood. And there, I'd be careful what you wish for because falling home prices have a way of taking everything else down with it. I think you are.
Right. And if you don't have an income, then because you lost your job because there's a recession, then you're not going to be at an advantage to buy a home.
Right. And as well, banks are more reluctant to lend, so it becomes more difficult to finance.
Uh-huh.
You have to put more money down. So that's a more difficult case.
Just to be clear, you didn't write in your article about artists or about housing. These are discussions that are taking place elsewhere about who a recession might actually be good for. And the artist argument has to do with the fact that hard times tend to produce great art. So it may not be good for the artists in the short run, but it may be good for culture in the long run.
Right. You know, during recessions, people tend to go back to school. That's one of the classic responses. So we could get sort of better papers and people discovering their capabilities. You know, we got out of the last recession, I think was probably when the genesis of Rent, the musical, which is about to close, that's probably when it got started. So maybe there'll be a Broadway show called Subprime in a couple of years. Maybe some of these hedge fund managers will discover that, you know, they really had the soul of novelists.
You may have the next great idea, and with the writer's strike still going on, you may be able to get it through.
I'm going to call my agent.
The absolutely astronomical sums being paid to CEOs, might they come down in a recession?
Yes, that's the short answer. You know, we have this curious phenomenon where if Merrill Lynch...
And we have 15 seconds left, by the way.
Okay, Merrill Lynch has a great year. The guy gets a $10 million bonus, $20 million, but they lose all that money the next year. He doesn't have to give it back. There's no such thing as a negative bonus. Mm. And I would propose maybe that's what shareholders should ask for, because what's happening now is we're giving up virtually all the profits and the gains of the last 3 or 4 years,
and
the people who got bonuses based on them get to keep them all.
And it may not make the economy any better, but it would give people a moment of schadenfreude to see CEO bonuses come down. Dan Gross from News Weekend Slate, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.